From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's good to have you listening in today as we continue to Let the Bible Speak on the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This week we are continuing to think upon the commanding Christ, and we're concentrating on Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, at the moment, in the opening few verses. So stay with us, as in a few minutes, after some good gospel music, we'll be turning to the Word of God. We start, however, with our hot topic for today, the idolatry of humanism. Try to understand this. American-born actress Gillian Anderson gave a press interview in which she was asked, "Do you believe in God?" And this was her answer. I'm quoting, "I believe that there is so much more that we aren't aware of on a daily basis, and that our abilities as human beings are so much vaster than we give ourselves credit for." Close the quote. She went on to talk of our brain capacity, of how much more of our brains we could use, telekinesis, ESP, past lives, and so on. Now remember that this was Ms. Anderson's response to the question, "Do you believe in God?" The only God, she acknowledges, is the human brain. You wonder how on earth these celebrities can talk such rubbish with a straight face. Yet this lady meant her answer to be taken seriously. She's representative of a vast tribe of people in this nation who acknowledge no God or authority above themselves. Such people are the worst kind of idolaters. The stereotypical idolater fashioned a god out of wood or stone and made it look like some creature that he especially feared or revered. The modern idolater looks in the mirror and smiles on himself as his own God. Obviously, this is a conscious repudiation of the one living and true God and of His Son Jesus Christ. It's the rejection of God's law and gospel. These idolaters bow down at only one shrine, the shrine of self. They offer at only one altar, the altar of self. And on that altar they sacrifice everything to indulge their selfish gratification. Thus, self-worship produces self-indulgence. For what can be more important than to give full and free expression to the dictates of your God, even if you yourself are that God? But this adoption of self as God is a cop-out from answering the real question. Obviously, man cannot be his own creator. To worship the creature more than the creator is rank folly. And if man is not his own creator, he cannot be his own final authority. By recognizing no final authority beyond his own brain, man locks himself into darkness, ignorance, and superstition. When you refuse to believe God's word, you end up believing anything. Humanism is the reaffirmation of Satan's lie and Adam's sin. It's a vain attempt to get around the inbred conviction of every human heart that God is. When you read the rank idolatry in the words of Gillian Anderson, you can understand why the Bible twice says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." It may sound intellectual to speak as Ms. Anderson did, of the human brain as the only God you believe in. In fact, it is inanity and insanity. as the very existence of man's conscience clearly testifies. Say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to Let the Bible Speak. Every day we have been receiving letters, by mail, email, and we have been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, the little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stands, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are all free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there's any way in which we can help you, please be in touch. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Or you may give us a telephone call toll free, 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
To Calvary, Lord, in spirit now, our weary souls prepare to dwell upon thy dying love and taste its sweetness there. Sweet resting place. Thank you.
It's time to return to our study of the life of Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. We're thinking of the commanding Christ. And yesterday we finished off as the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, after a long night of useless toil seeking to catch fish, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. We pick it up at that point and Peter's reaction showing the faith of a true disciple.
Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Peter registers my little protest. Master, we have toiled. We are weary. But then he says, and this is where faith kicks in, nevertheless, at thy command, I will let down the net. I remember Willie Mullen pointing out that Jesus said, let down your nets. That meant they'd have to go and get their partners and all out with them at that time. Let down all the nets you have. And Peter's faith was great. Nevertheless, at thy command we'll go. But he said, we'll let down the net. And Peter was the loser, because they enclosed a great multitude of fish, so much that the net began to break. And they had to call in the others just to salvage what they had caught. If they'd got all the nets they could, they'd have filled them all. But nonetheless, Peter went out and they brought in this great haul of fish. His submission brought a great blessing, as it always does. It brought an even greater blessing, because this was the beginning of something wonderful in the life of Simon Peter. He had already met with Christ. John chapter 1, we have looked at that already. He had already heard the Lord Jesus say, you're called Simon, but you will be called Peter. Something had begun, you would say, had been saved. But there was still a great need for understanding himself and understanding the Lord. And here he sees the glory of the Lord as he has never seen it before. And that's why he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Falling down at Jesus' knees. He prays that. Not that he wanted Christ to depart. But Peter felt how glorious Christ was. And how sinful he was. How worthy the Savior was. And how unworthy he himself was. That's what was borne in upon Peter's mind. Let me tell you, my friend, that made all the toil of going out into the deep worthwhile. That was a greater blessing than the net that was full to capacity with the fish, with all the profit that the sales of those fish would bring. This was the blessing of all blessings. Peter caught a glimpse of the glory of his Savior. Peter began to grasp something of the majesty and the sovereignty and the deity of Jesus Christ. He fell down on his knees. He confessed him as his Lord. And he says, Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I am a sinful man. Can I say this to you? First of all, you will never be saved until you come to terms with who Jesus Christ is and who you are and what you are before Him. You receive Christ by repentance and faith, both of which are evident in what Peter was saying. And if you are saved and you have already come to Christ, you will never amount to anything much in the service of God, no matter how vast your talent, no matter how great your ability, no matter how immense your energy, you will never amount to anything much in the service of your Christ until you are overwhelmed by His glory and you fall at His knees. And you feel yourself a sinful and unworthy wretch. I haven't time to pursue this, but I'll say it anyway in passing. This is when my wife trembles. But when I say things in passing, sometimes I get stuck there. You will see the effect of a genuine miracle. A genuine miracle glorifies Christ and humbles human flesh in the dust. Much of what we hear today about so-called miracles seem to me to glorify a preacher, magnify a man. When I hear some idiot like the so-called evangelist Howard Rodney Brown talk about miracles that make people just fall on the ground laughing, when he preaches about hell, people laugh their heads off at the thought of the souls damned in hell. And this is supposed to be the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, this is a supernatural working, perhaps, but if it is, it is of another spirit entirely. A genuine working of miraculous power has only one effect, it is to glorify Christ and debase proud flesh. Always and inevitably. Peter says, Lord, I've seen your glory and I am unworthy. But you know, and this is the vital part, the vision of the glory of Christ is never intended to intimidate, but to invigorate. See that very clearly here. Peter, seeing the glory of the Savior, feeling his own inability and unworthiness, immediately feels there has to be distance between me and the Lord. The Lord could not put up with me in His close presence. In other words, Peter felt, because of how great Christ was and how poor he was, that he was useless. But the Lord Jesus turns that right around. And notice what he says in verse 10. Simon, he says, fear not. Fear not. Now, what does he mean here? Obviously, he's not saying don't fear God, because we're commanded to fear God, and a godly fear, such as Peter was showing, is a very good thing. But this fear that you're being driven out of my presence, this fear that you're being rendered useless in my service, this fear that you can never amount to anything in the work of God, get rid of it. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. You see what he's saying? Peter, far from this realization debarring you from the service of the Lord, it actually equips you. Far from the vision of Christ's glory putting you away, it draws you near. It's not to intimidate, but it is to invigorate. You'll notice what the Savior says. He didn't say, Peter, you're going to go out fishing for souls. Didn't say that. Now, that would be true, but that's not what he promised. He said, Peter, you're going to go out and you're going to catch men. Just as surely as I told you to launch out into the deep. Now, you were too weak to go. You were weary with the toil. Every muscle in your body cried out against going, but I told you to go. I told you to go where your professional instincts told you not to go. And you brought in a great net full of fish. Now, don't be afraid when I tell you to go out fishing for men, because you will catch men just as certainly as you caught the fish. In other words, you've seen my power and glory to bring in a great haul of fish. You've seen nothing yet, Peter. I will let you see me bring in a great haul of a different kind of fish. You will fish for men and you'll catch them. The verb that's translated catch here appears only twice in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:26, this is a text I'm not getting into this morning. There are more different interpretations of it than I care to get into. And this text, it means catch, it means take alive. You'll take them alive. And of course, what a difference. When he caught fish, it was to kill them. When you catch men, it's to give them life. He says, you'll take them alive. Do you see what Christ is saying here? He's saying, Peter, I commanded, launch out, let down your nets, and brought in the fish. By my command, if you could only, by faith, look beyond your own fear and your own weakness, you would see that when I command you to do it, I am guaranteeing the success of the labor. Similarly, when I command you to go out and fish for men, you will catch men. You will take men alive. You will bring them in. We will see them saved. I guarantee it. Here is the command in Christ. He commands the success of his work. The Lord Jesus Christ not only assures his people of the success of his work, but he himself takes the responsibility to bring souls into the gospel net. Many of the old time preachers, and you've got to be very careful about this, because allegorizing God's word becomes something of, it's like an opium. I know preachers who never do anything else but spiritualize and allegorize God's word. They're that busy seeing a spiritual meaning in things, they can't see the plain meaning. But I think in this case the Lord Jesus draws the allegory. He's the one who says, there's the fish, now here's the application, you're going to catch men. He's the one who draws the connection. So I'm not going beyond the words of Christ here. And with that in mind, I say that throughout the centuries, preachers have turned to this passage and they've seen the sea as a picture of the world, the fish as the picture of souls. The boats is the picture of the various churches. Simon and the others as ministers or Christian workers. The net as the preaching of the gospel. Pulling it in as the effort of evangelism. And all that is very true. But never let us forget that superintending the whole thing, there is the commanding figure of the Lord Jesus Christ who stands there saying, I command when to go and where to go. I command and I guarantee that the nets will be filled. I am responsible to bring sinners into the gospel net. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you, my friend, very simply, if you're a Christian, go where the Lord sends you. Go when the Lord sends you. And if the Lord's command to you is to go when and where every other instinct in your body or your experience would say, do the opposite, obey the Lord and go.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.